Good evening, one and all. Yes, welcome to another Book and a Chat. Here we are, middle of March. Where's it gone? I'll tell you. And actually, finally, today, here in Connecticut, where I am, we actually had some, well, it wasn't March weather. It was more like June weather. It was like in the upper 60s to 70s, which is, if I work that route, takes away 32. It's about 14, 15 degrees. But, it reminded everybody, because we finally got with it, a bit rid of the snow, it's now time to get in the garden and do stuff. But never mind, I will get to it in time, because more importantly, I am here, and so is my guest. Now, I was a bit worried, because I thought, oh my goodness, you know, my guest is in Scotland, and I thought, oh Christ, it's going to be 5 hours, it's going to be midnight. But of course, here in America, our clocks went back this last week, so it's only 4 hours at the moment. And I was just telling my guest before we started, that yesterday here in America, and I think it's Canada as well, because it's North America continent, they have agreed, and I think it's from next week, to not put the clocks forward and back. I think there's countries like Brazil, and there's a few countries around the world that don't do it already. Mind you, there's other places where they do it sort of 15 minutes back and forward and back with little small states and stuff. But anyway, we'll see how it goes with the rest of the world, might be next year. But here in America, so they say, we're not going to change the clocks next week. Anyway, what can I do now about my guest? Well, my guest is, he covers a lot of different genres, but this is about his first book, his debut book, and we will find out a bit more about it, because on my show today, I have the pleasure to have as my guest, and I can say this one and only because I'm going to say the middle initial. I know, we've had this before, where too many people with the same name. The one and only Sean P. Gibson. Hi Sean, how are you doing?
Hello everybody. Yeah, I'm doing good, thank you. As Barry says, I am from Scotland, so I do apologise. There's no subtitles on this radio show. I do hope that you can understand the accent.
I tell you, Sean, before I finish work, I worked for Unilever in England and then over here, and then I went to work for this medical company called Cigna. Now, the European data centre is in Glasgow. So every time we had meetings, they used to have to bring me along for a translator. it was very broad Glaswegian, it was, but it was funny because I said to them, you reckon this is bad? I said, you should have somebody from Newcastle on, because I couldn't even tell you what they say.
It is tough, to be fair. I was in New York about 2 years ago and no one could understand what I was saying. No. I think the problem is like the slang and stuff we use.
Oh, all the time. All the time.
Like we speak the same language, but we don't. And like, there's so many people just looking at me and they're like, what? And
yes.
Still just confused.
I know. We get it when we go out. I mean, I've been here, 20 years now, but I refuse to lose my accent. But we get it when we go out and stuff like that. And people come up and say, oh, I love your accent. It's really good. You know, especially waiters, waitresses and stuff like that, which is good because you tend to get good service, you know. But my wife looks at them and says, oh, you wouldn't if you had to put up with it all the time. But interesting what you say about the slang and stuff like that. I was at a meeting about 3-4 years ago. And somebody was asking, you know, did anybody say anything about this issue, what was going to happen? I said, no, they didn't say a dicky bird, which is a normal term, we Jews, you know. They looked at me and thought, what the hell's he talking about, birds? I spent about 10 minutes trying to explain.
I would have no idea either.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah. I know. Oh, dear. Anyway, say, this is your debut book, is it something you've always fancied doing? I mean, I know you're on the justice system, and yeah, we always say that lawyers make good authors because they're telling stories all the time. But when you were sort of young, did you sort of like jotting down little stories and stuff?
It was more, you know, I kind of lived in my head.
Okay. I understand. Goes round and round thinking, I'll get it jotted down sometime. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
It's not even that. It's more like just the daydream of having these worlds.
Ah, okay.
Not,
right.
You know, as a kid, you would kind of play them out and whatnot. And I'd be doing that for so long, and you actually really create like these kind of extensive, interesting worlds and stuff. you don't really think about writing because you're a kid, you're a teenager, blah, blah, blah. It's not really a concern. And as I got older and, you know, writing became more accessible and stuff, it's like, you know what, I could actually do this. I could actually write out the worlds and whatnot. I could create them. I could put them out there. I could expand on them. So that's kind of where the seed was planted, and it grew from there.
And it's interesting because, you know, like a lot of people, you know, have we had past lives? Are these actual things that exist and they're in your head, or somebody's trying to communicate with you that these worlds exist and stuff like that? And it's a case of, we're telling you, you've got to, you know, share them with people. Do you get that impression? Do you get that impression sometimes?
I mean, I get what you're saying, because some of the things that you think of are just so strange, so interesting, so in-depth. It's like, did it come from somewhere, you know?
Oh,
so,
God.
No, I could see that point of view, yeah.
I mean, no, we've been, well, coming up to 1,600 shows now, and number of times, I reckon at least 95% when you talk to authors and you say about the characters in the stories and the characters talking to you, and, you know, if you don't listen to them, they won't talk to you till the next day, and, you know, minor characters come along, they want a major role, some even demand their own books, and it's almost like these people are trying to tell you, you know, what's all right, and it gets like that. And what finally pushed you to you know, produce this first, of which obviously is going to be quite a few books?
Well, again, I just, you know, I typed some stuff up and whatnot. Actually, I got better at typing, better at writing, so then I kind of dwelt on the fiction side. It was actually my friend's mother had self-published her own book, and she did like a sort of kind of book release in a library and stuff.
Yeah.
She asked me to come along. It's, you know, friends and stuff, like, could you help me out? And I did it. And I was just watching her, and she published her stuff, and I was like, you know what, this, anybody can do it. And it wasn't just her. I don't know if you know the author, Christopher Paley.
Yep.
He was Eragon and stuff. He self-published when he was, I think, 15. So that was kind of stuck at the back of my mind again, with the whole idea, like, you know, what's stopping you? Yeah. He did it when he was so young and whatnot.
Oh, crikey, yeah. You hear that all the time. You know, people just let their imaginations go and just get it down. And it's amazing. I mean, well, in your case, it's sort of sci-fi, fantasy, horror, all that stuff together. What did I read? Oh, The Matrix and Agent Carter mixed together. So a cross between the two. Yeah. That's great.
It's easy to make excuses. It's easy to say, I'll get round to it. And
yeah.
He's always been in the back of my mind. He just did it. And then my friend's mum just didn't. It was like, oh, one day, I'm just going to do it, you know, and it stopped making excuses, because as you say, you'll just lose it. You'll lose the imagination, you'll lose the world and stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I mean, and you do. People just, their imagination gets locked away, shall I say, you know, until they get a very senior level, and then your filter goes and you don't care. It's something that you're outside the real world when you get to a certain age. And so you actually started writing this, and you got these different worlds, you know, in your mind and stuff like that. What was it easy to pin this first story, the virtual project Novus? Was it easy to pin this world down for your first story, or was there other ones sort of pressuring you, saying, "Oh, I think this could do a, should I be, make this my first one?" What actually pushed you to make this actual story the first one in this sort of set, shall I say?
Well, Novus wasn't the first one I started. So
there you go.
So like the whole daydreaming thing, there was this one particular idea, whole vampire werewolf story kind of thing. And I'm going to finish it. I keep going back to it and stuff. That's like my child. So that's what I started. And then again, I started other fiction works and whatnot. And then it's kind of like what you already said, how like the story kind of speaks to you and it writes itself and the characters. Because then Nova came to me and I was just lost within it. And I had one idea when I started writing it, and the story just kind of wrote itself. And even as I went through it and whatnot, the characters changed and the story was constantly changing. And it really was like, you know, I was just a tool.
Right.
I was just writing the story, and I actually managed to finish it. And it was like, you know what, there's so many ideas, there's so many sequels you could do from this.
Yeah.
It became its own universe.
Look at what's his name with the Discworld series, you know. That's they got all over the place with this stuff. And if with yours, being the sort of sci-fi, what have you, you've got such a freedom to bring in worlds in your own, you know, the own sort. And it's interesting, you know, that you kept going back to it. Obviously it was there and it was trying to tell you, this is the one you've got to publish. So it's great you actually managed to do it. Without giving too much away, obviously, give us a little brief rundown of what the book's about.
Well, it is a sci-fi and fantasy in one. I'm interested in both genres. I thought, you know what, I'll go for both. I'll mix it. I know some people are kind of strictly each, but
yeah.
I thought we'll go for both. I could make it work. So my idea was, I've got two main characters, Bjorn and Ada, both protagonists. And it's set in a sort of virtual world. So the fantasy side comes in this virtual world. It's set in the future. And Bjorn, he's the sort of protector of this virtual world. But he has like this darkness inside him. It's this corruption. And one of the main themes is human versus technology. So you kind of see that with Bjorn, because the people who made this virtual world as a company dominates the futuristic world. They have really, really dark and evil intentions, and they're actually really corrupt. And this is where Ada comes into it, because she's a law enforcement officer.
Okay.
She has learned about the kind of dark secrets. I mean, she's got a vendetta against them. They've killed her husband and whatnot. So she goes into this world herself, and she's trying to tear it down. So it's interesting, because Bjorn is actually a really good guy, but he's got this darkness inside him, corrupted by the technology side of things. And then you've got Ada trying to tear it down, and it's kind of, what conflict happens between those two when they finally meet up, and then Bjorn fighting with himself, and it switches between the fantasy world and the sci-fi world. So you kind of see the world building there, and just the kind of the darkness that this company has
right. Been
dead to the world and whatnot. And
so that's great. I love the idea of the whole thing is just being affected by this darkness and how it will spread, and that it gives you a good latitude, you know, as to what you can cover, because you got all sorts, from the sci-fi to the sort of horror type things. You can bring everything in. And what about the names? Was it good fun making the names up, or did you find that hard?
No, the names is actually surprisingly easy. I always thought, you know, trying to create a character's name would be difficult, but when you think about it, you've got endless names out there.
Yeah.
And if you're struggling with a name, you can just make up a name from letters. Like, that is the great freedom of writing.
Exactly!
You can create whatever you want. I mean, you look at all the strange names out there, like Gandalf and whatnot. Like,
all right, yeah!
Like, he has made that his name. Like, you looked at that and he's verified it just in his writing. Like, you can do that with your own stuff. You have this freedom. It's fantastic. So, no, I don't think it was that difficult.
Well, you know, the name Wendy did not exist until it was written as part of Peter Pan.
Oh, that's interesting. But there you go. It proves the point.
Yeah, exactly. I it's one of those weird facts I file away. That's, I might use it someday. But yeah, it didn't exist until he wrote it in Peter Pan, and that's it. You've got plans for other books. Are you sort of going to keep the characters going, or are you going to make them stand alone, or how are you going to sort of work the next lot?
Oh, well, I'd have to spoil the ending there, wouldn't I?
That's true, yeah.
Currently, yeah, all the characters would move forward. Yeah.
Great. Just move to different worlds, and that basically,
So the sequel would actually be, again, you've got the futuristic side, but it's going to be in a different virtual world.
Right.
It's going to be in like a prototype kind of before.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
Darker, and it's going to be more wacky, and you're going to see more of the fantasy side of stuff with the magic and the monsters and whatnot.
Are you going to have a world where they eat chicken nuggets all the time?
No, that would just be a dream world. Be everyone would be happy. Like, come on.
Yeah, so just to let the audience know, yes, I'm looking at Sean's biography. One of the things he does is he really likes his eating chicken nuggets, which against a likeness of fitness is, I guess, one balances the other, doesn't it? And I tell you what else, Sean, I can really relate to you with cats on keyboards. The worst thing I have is the cat. I don't shut the door of this room properly, or the dog comes and knocks it open for the cat to come in, and the cat sleeps on the keyboard, because I guess it's warm, you know, on the laptop. And I come in and there's screens up all over the place. I can't, you know, it's in sort of like 200 font pitch, you know, and everything. And I have to sort of end up trying to clear what I can and then just crash the machine to recover it. I literally have a treble check that I shut the door so the cat can't come and sleep on the keyboard. I can relate to that.
You know, you were saying how, like, you know, there's people out there and they're telling us these stories. Maybe the cats are doing it. Maybe
that's, well, perhaps, perhaps.
Documents and just publish it. Maybe, yeah. Maybe
the
story itself.
Perhaps it.
My cat has a piece.
Yeah. It's a cat world, yeah. they're actually they're all descended from ancient Egypt, and they're waiting for their time to take over the world. That's it. The cats. Yeah.
You've already said, haven't you? You've got a few pieces clearly.
Yeah. So, what sort of response have you received from the book so far?
It's been positive. Obviously, the hardest thing is the marketing side.
Exactly,
so,
So
I'm still trying to get the reach out there. One of the new things I've did is I made a TikTok. A lot of people have said that's been really successful for authors, so I started that in the last 2 weeks. It's been going well.
Good.
So I'm doing like 30-second horror stories and stuff. So.
Right, yeah, yeah. So this is what I say to a lot of authors, especially debut authors. You know, people think that they've written it, the book's there, or, you know, they've got the paper copy in their hands or what have you, and I think, oh, that's it, yeah, I've done it, I've created it, that's, the hard work's all done. I say, no, that's when the hard work starts. And a lot of authors don't realise that. I mean, and then you know, as you're finding out, they're sort of, it's there, now how can I get people to actually realise it's there? So, yeah, so it sounds like you're at least getting somewhere along the way, so that's good. And then, second book, has it started yet? Or you started it, or writing it?
Yeah, I have started it. As I say, I've got a few novels started, but I'm currently working on a horror collection.
Oh, okay.
As you were talking about the marketing side, so I went to a sort of novella.
Yes, yep.
More works out there, get my name out there.
The
people that are writing the other genres and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's easier to manage that with time and try to work out the market and stuff, so I can go back to the novels.
What do you prefer, the horror or the sort of sci-fi fantasy?
You know what, I mean, I grew up sci-fi fantasy, it's kind of been my child and whatnot, but
right.
I'm really enjoying the horror right now. The horror's really interesting.
I had a lady on the show, oh, it must be about 4 years ago, and she got so dark and deep in her horror story, her writing her horror story, that her husband banned her from writing for a month because she was becoming a wreck. You know, she just had sunk so deep into the horror thing. And I can imagine it. I mean, it's like these people who write sort of three books at the same time in different genres. I mean, you just, what do you do? Wake up this morning and say, today I am going to write a historical romance, you know. And then 2 hours later, I'm going to change to a horror movie. You know, do you have to put a different hat on for each book you do or something like that? It amazes me. Obviously, one of the things with my stuff being YA, I found a lot of help from bloggers online in those days. It's sort of, you know, I call the YA bloggers the sham wow of literature because they just soak everything up. Have you sort of managed to get a lot of help from the internet? You know, not just for finding out and learning about things, but actually people sort of wanting to help and read the book, you know, give it a review and stuff?
I've not really delved into the whole blogging side of things yet. Again, it's all one big learning curve. So the TikTok's new. I got Facebook a few months ago. So, no, I think I eventually will. I mean, people do try and help you. When I first uploaded the book, again, it was my first. There was stuff to learn. So, like, people looked at it straight away and they were like, you know what, it would be better if you did this and if you did that. And, you know what I mean, there was changes.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like, you didn't ask for it. People were just like, you know what, giving you that helping hand. So
yeah, no, it's good, especially on the online books. I mean, at least you can go in and, you know, just change the font or do this, or, you know.
Yeah, so handy.
It is, really. What about the cover? How did you get on with the cover?
That was actually an artist that I commissioned. Again, I'm an artist myself, and I really had it in my idea that I wanted to draw my own cover.
Right.
As soon as I finished the book, I was really excited about it, but I didn't do that, and I just made something from graphics online. Again, my advice was, you know what, it would be better if you had something a bit more professional, something a bit more genre-speaking, so that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
And it's been great advice. I've had really, really good feedback about the cover.
It's eye-catching, I think is the best word for it. It really does, and it was well worth it to get that done, because I think it leaves a person looking at it thinking, well, hang on, this obviously this person, you know, he's got his face part covered and his hands are out like he's asking for stuff, or is he doing some magical spell or whatever, and it makes you think. And looking at that, you think, okay, well, I'll have a quick read, see what this might be about, you know. And I think that's definitely an eye-catching cover.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. I think one of the good things the artist did is she managed to make it look fantasy and sci-fi at the same time.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, and a bit scary as well, you know, in a way. No, that's good. I like the idea of that. So you got the second, you're doing your novellas and stuff like that. You're planning to sort of keep going, you know, two or three different genres at the time like this, or is it just a case of, well, this is just getting it going, and then once I get it, because, I mean, you know, it takes about 2-3 books at least for your name to get a bit out there, and then, of course, you get people who, if people pick those books up and then want to go back and read your first ones. I mean, that's the plus side of it, obviously.
Yeah, no, definitely, I'm just going to stick to sci-fi, fantasy, and horror.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference I'm going to do is I've got a crime thriller already started.
Set. Oh, nice.
So that's going to be the only kind of difference from those three genres, but my career moving forward and all my future works in progress, they're just going to be horror, sci-fi, or fantasy.
It's not taggered, is it?
Sorry.
It's not taggered. Taggered? Detective Taggart? TAGGARD. Perhaps it's before your time.
It was as good. No, I know what you're saying now, Taggart.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you've got to remember, people listening, you know, I'm from London and you know, Sean's up in Scotland. There is a difference. In fact, there's a different accent about every 20 miles in England. We've got so many accents.
Plus, you have to change quite a bit. Like,
not so much. Yes, not. I try not to. I really do. I refuse to be American.
That's you lost half your viewers.
Honestly, if I could, I'd be home tomorrow. I really would. In fact, I'm actually going home. I'm going home next month for my niece's wedding. So, hopefully, unless there's another outbreak, I should be up. I did come over last year when the. When we had all the issues with the petrol, you know, when everybody was topping up one pint into their tank to make it run out quicker and stuff, yeah. So
it's worse than now. It's like nearly double the price of what it was.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's over here, of course, it's cheap compared to what, you know, we used to in Britain, sort of thing. But everybody's going mad because it's doubled up over here. But I know, you know, that you've got to remember the American gallon and the UK gallon is different, but.
Oh, much different.
Yeah, in size, but we are now paying, shock horror, about £3 a gallon. And they're complaining. But then, of course, there's no such thing as public transport over here, you know.
Oh,
not that you'd know about, anyway. Okay, well, that's been absolutely fascinating talking to you, Sean P. Gibson. What I'm going to do now, Sean, anyway, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find more about you and, of course, about your book.
Yes, thank you. As Barry has already touched upon, my first work is called The Virtual Project Novice. You can find that on Amazon. It's in ebook and paperback. Of course, I did mention my TikTok. It's just under the same username, so that'll be SeanP.Gibson, if anyone uses TikTok. And I have a Facebook page as well. Again, you can just find me under SeanP.Gibson. Don't be scared. I do love a chat. I'm quite social on both, so it's not all just throwing books in your face, you know, come read this. Like, you know, I'm happy to engage. You can find my email address on that, so if you ever want to send a message, ask a question, I'm really happy to, you know. I think that's the best part, getting to engage with other people.
Yeah,
so
indeed.
Don't be afraid to do that at all.
Okay, well, Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, because all future stuff will be like posted on them anyway, rather than just listing everything.
Right. In fact, that's obviously, a good way to do. And then, once you get 2-3 out, then get your web page up and,
Definitely. Go from there.
Yeah. Well, once you get your domain, then your email can be part of the domain and everything. So, all works good. Well, Sean, thank you so much for being a guest. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. You're not too late to go to bed now, so get there before midnight. Anyway, thank you and good luck with the book.
Thanks a lot. Thanks again for having me. And no, it wasn't too late. So
there you go. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. My guest today, Sean P. Gibson. In other words, P with a full stop after it. Or as they say over here, period. I know, another just story. Sean P. Gibson. And talking about his debut book. Very good, very good. The Virtual Project, Novus. N-O-V-U-S. The Virtual Project, Novus. And, it's a bit of sci-fi, a bit of horror, a bit of this, that and the other. As it said, some other people put The Matrix and Agent Carter mixed together. That's interesting, isn't it, eh? It sounds very good, and it sounds like Sean's got definitely a few other ideas go underway, and could be a name to look out for. So find him, look for him, and make sure you do the Sean P. Gibson. Yeah, okay. Well, that's it. I will be back on Sunday with my two music shows from 5 to 6pm Eastern. We have The British Invasion, and it's the second one of our shows where we've got music with the title not mentioned in the song. Yeah? You got it? Like 59th Street Bridge Song by Simon and Garfunkel. Doesn't mention 59th Street at all in it. That sort of stuff. Anyway. And then from 6 to 7pm Eastern, we have the Swinging 60s. Yes, music from the 60s with not just British Invasion, with all round the world stuff. So 5 to 6, those are the days. 6 to 7, the Swinging 60s. And of course, next Tuesday, I'll be back with another guest here on A Book and a Chat. Until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget. And make sure it works. Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. That was great, Sean. Thanks very much.
Oh, hello?
Hi, that was great. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for having me. I didn't know if you were speaking to me then when you were doing your closings, and I was like,
No, that's I'm trying to get the thing. It's a new, they got sent out a new dashboard about for the software I use about sort of 4 months ago, and up until that I'd have one for about 10 years, where you just had two buttons and that was it. Now it's sort of all singing, dancing, I can't work it out, but I'm getting there. Anyway, thank you so much. What I'll do is when I upload the show to my blog, I'll make sure I send you a link, which will be end of this month. Normally I tend to do it, so look out for that, and I'll send you the link then.
Excellent, that's appreciated. Thank you again, Barry.
My pleasure, thank you, and good luck.
Cheers, thank you, likewise.
Bye-bye.